have chosen a better subject to go along with our study this morning. I'd like you to turn to Psalms 120. I want to set the table for what we're about to look at in our studies of Ruth. Although what Mike just brought before us was without a doubt a wonderful prelude to what we're about to see. Psalms 120. In my distress, you already see the coalition with what Mike just brought before us in the devotional. In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from the deceitful tongue. What shall be given unto thee, or what shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue? Sharp arrows of the mighty with coals of juniper. Woe is me that I sojourn in Mesech, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. My soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Now, if you would turn over to the book of Ruth, chapter 1. Remember, Naomi had lived in the world of Moab for about 10 years. And there's maybe some who want to dispute the exact time. It doesn't matter. The Bible tells us she lived there for a 10-year period, so we know at least that. That's a long time to be in a land where God is not talked of. That's a long time to be somewhere where you don't hear what peace that only can be heard from through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a long time to hear about what good man is and not hear what good God is. In Psalms, you don't need to turn there, 18:5, it says, the sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him into his ears. David knew a little something about sorrow, the sorrow that we just heard Mike talking about. The promises of God that would bring his people back into Zion, huh? Imagine the cries of Israel, if you will, for a moment. Consider what it is, what it would have been. You know, we've lived here in this country for 200 years, yet I can't remember anything past the 1970s. Yeah, I'm glad some of you giggled about that. 200 years we've lived in this country. 400 years Israel was in captivity. 400 years they were slaves. Mercilessly, I'm not saying that word correctly. You know what I mean. Beaten. Mistreated. 400 years. Those who have the same hearts that you and I do, who knew God, the true God and living God, cried out, God, how long do we have this upon us? 400 years. They were in bondage, yet God heard their cries. His answer was not what they wanted. How many died before they were actually answered? Or when they wanted it, but the answer did come, didn't it? And it came in a mighty way. God opened the seas, and he let them walk out on dry land. And that's just a picture of the mightiness that God did for his people in sending his son to this world to become our substitute. Speaking for myself, It would benefit me to remember God's words to the Apostle Paul. My grace is sufficient. No matter what we're going through, when the trials that Mike were just speaking about, let us remember our God has loved us with an everlasting love, has He not? Our trials, whatever they may be, are usually for something to bring us closer to God. Oh, how often do we get into a trial and the first thing we think of is, the only thing I can do is turn it over to God and let Him handle it. Or I can't deal with this. Even with the trials of our own sin and our own affliction within ourselves. I'm not talking just about things that are bad in the world that happen to us. I'm talking about the stuff inside of us that bothers us even more than all of that. When you find yourself stuck on a sin, when you find yourself in a position where a particular sin is bothering you, what do?
Pray and
return to God. Absolutely. In Romans 8:28 it says, "For and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose." See, that's one of the things, folks, that we preach over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, and that is that our God rules everything. The God of Scriptures is not one who just threw everything up into the air and said, "Okay, let's see how it comes out." The God of Scriptures rules everything, right down to the minute detail, including everything in your lives, including everything in my life. These trials are not just because God's let things go and wants, you know, "Well, whatever happens to you, I'll..." No, it's for our own good. That means that when I fall into something, and God help me not to, please don't get me wrong, but when I do fall into something that I shouldn't, I'm going to turn to the only one who can get me out of it. My Lord and Savior. So let's begin this study by once again considering the state that Naomi was in, shall we? Look at verse 5. "And Mahlon and Chilion died, also both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband." Naomi was left. She was spent. All of her energy was gone. She lost her husband. She lost her two sons. Her means of support was completely gone at that time. They didn't have women who went out and became great businessmen like we do today. I mean, they had a couple. I mean, Lydia, the seller of purple. But mostly, women depended on their husbands, on their children. And this woman lost everything. All she had left was her daughter-in-laws. Her means of support was gone. Do you think maybe she was even a little depressed? We may not know exactly, but I can imagine she felt abandoned by God even. How often have we read in the Psalms 22, that one, that psalm that David wrote just before he wrote the 23rd Psalm? If you read that, you can see where David was completely distressed. He felt abandoned, completely abandoned by his God. I can't help but wonder if she didn't feel the same thing. Her husband, her two sons, they're gone. This must have been a very, very low time for this woman, Naomi. A time of great trial. Yet, at what seems to be our low points, who is it that we turn to? We turn to the God, our Lord Jesus Christ. In Psalms 51:17, it says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise." Now, I don't know about you folks, but when the Lord brought me to hear His gospel the first time, I was in tears. You've all heard the story. I came here to cry on my brother's shoulder. Yet I heard good news. I heard good news for the first time. I heard about a Savior. I heard about peace. Naomi came to this land, the land of Moab. Amiable, sweet, and pleasant. And as we will see in verse 20, when we get there, she returned bitter. We've been looking at the meanings of names. And that was the meaning of her name. Naomi means amiable, sweet, pleasant. Now I'd like to bring up the meaning of two names that we have not looked at yet. Orpah, which means stiff-necked or declining, and Ruth, which means companion. Now, I'd like you to keep those meanings in mind as we go along, for these meanings, their meanings, seem to go along with the very actions. Read verse 6. Then she, speaking of Naomi, arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people and giving them bread. Now, this would be a very good title for today's lesson. The Lord hath visited his people. Isn't that wonderful? You know, he has every right not to. I have nothing. There's no reason for God to visit me whatsoever, except for the fact that he loved me from before the world began. That's the only reason God does anything for his people. Because God the Father gave God the Son a people before the world was, that he would come to this world and save them. The Lord hath visited his people. He who spared not his only begotten Son, how shall he not freely give us all things? How shall he not give all things to his chosen people? He who loved his people from everlasting to everlasting, how shall he not always be there for them? Speaking of the promises that Mike brought out in his devotion, God said, I shall never leave you nor forsake you. That means each and every one of you, even when we're in our trials, even when we're troubled with the sin that is within us. This word visited does not mean that he was gone for a while and he came by for a visit. Yeah, good to see y'all. Nice place you have here. Got to go now. Doesn't mean that he came by for a visit and then that he was going to leave again. It means that he blessed them with provisions. Or in other words, to bestow. Our God provides, folks. He provides all that we need. This is a picture of the very gospel, the good news. I'm here to tell you this day that God has visited his people. God became a man that he might bless his elect, his people, his chosen from every tongue and every tribe and every nation. We don't know who they are, but God does. All we got to do is what he told us. Go out and preach the gospel into all the ends of the earth. It's God's work to choose or to sift the wheat from the tares, not ours. He's the one who does that work. The God-man, Jesus Christ, the Lord, he walked a perfect life. He dotted every I. He has always done that which pleaseth the Father, even the death of the cross. God provided himself a sacrifice for the sins of his people. When Naomi heard the news, it was a thing of hope for her. Imagine what we just went through a moment ago. Imagine. She had no hope left. Her sons were gone. Her husband was gone. What more Lord, what more can you take from me except for my life? Yet she heard the good news. God had visited his people over there. Back in his house. Back where God is worshipped. Back where she came from. Naomi knew that she could no longer remain in this place of worldly wonders, of things that made her feel good. Because that's what the churches of the world do. They make you feel good. Oh, if you would just help somebody. If you could just help somebody like I helped this poor man down the street. If you could do that too, you'll feel good just like I do. If you'll just make a better decision in the way you've been going, you'll feel so much better. That's not the God of Scriptures, is it? God of Scripture says that we're always going to make the wrong choice. We're always going to make the wrong choice. That's why he lets us do it, isn't it? Isn't that why he lets us go and make the wrong choices? So that we'll turn around and turn to the one who makes the right choice. And when we do turn to him, we realize, Lord, thank you. Thank you for letting me make that wrong choice so I can turn to you. She knew that she could no longer remain in that place of worldly wonders. The Word of God goes out through the preaching of the gospel, and the Spirit of God applies it to the hearts of all for whom God the Father gave to his darling Son from before the foundation of the world. We have heard the good news. God's people have all that they need. Our God is providing all that is needed. And all we need is our Lord Jesus. And he gives us salvation. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. We have a Redeemer, one who has paid the price in full. Completely. There's nothing left for us to do. Oh, what a perfect rest we have in our Jesus. In the Jesus of Scripture. God in the flesh. That's why we have such rest, isn't it? Because it is God in the flesh. And if it's God in the flesh, he can't do anything wrong. We may not see it all the time. We may not see the purpose. But there is a purpose there because he has promised it to be so. And if you believe that, it's because God has given you the gift of faith to do so. Praise our Lord Jesus Christ. There is rest in Jerusalem. There is bread in Jerusalem. There is drink indeed in Jerusalem. The true God of Scripture has done it all. He says it is finished. The world religions say that you must do something along with what their God has done. Our God says, it is finished. All to him we owe. Sin has left a crimson tide. He washed it white as snow. Are you struggling with the things of this world today? Let me tell you right now, there is rest in Christ the Lord. Is your heart troubled with the chaos that is in this world? With the chaos that may be in your own flesh? There is rest in Christ the King. Our Lord and Savior sits on his throne, ruling everything according to his purpose. And I never tire of hearing that fact. I never tire of telling you of that fact. We who know the Son of the true living God, we who have had these truths revealed through the preaching of his gospel, we do not consider our Lord's sovereignty to be just a little thing at all. something common. You may say that we harp on this point, but the truth is, it's our only hope. If my God is not controlling everything, if He's not working everything out, as He says in His Word, according to His own purpose, then I can't call Him God. If there's a chance at all that He could fail, then He doesn't deserve the name God. I have no confidence in flesh. I've seen what I can do. It's almost a sad thing to say, folks, but it's getting that way for me with the rest of the world. I have no confidence in what I see in the world around me either. And that includes the leaders of this country, the leaders of the world. My only confidence is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. He says He put Him there for a reason. I have to trust that that reason is the best thing. Do you? Do you trust your Lord? I need to ask that question of myself every day. Do I trust my Lord? Lord, help me to trust You more. Our hope is built on nothing less than His righteousness. This is the war that we fight between our flesh and our spirit. The war of, Lord, help me not to trust in my flesh. It's hard to do that, isn't it? It's hard to go about doing things in the world thinking that, you know, hey, I know I can do this. I've seen myself do it. I know I can get that done. I also know I can mess it up. Our very nature tells us me. But the new spirit that dwells within us says Him. 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 If Christ the Lord has taken up residence in your heart, you will find no peace in the things of this world. Naomi found no peace in the things of the world. That's what Moab was a picture of. All the religions that you could think of were right there. They carved little carvings of whatever they wanted to be. They worshiped trees. Maybe, who knows? They worshiped all the things of the world, yet they did not worship the true and living God. God will not leave His people comfortable in the house of Baal, the house of lies. How many of you have been to a church or a service somewhere where you've sat there and you said, that's a flat out lie? That can't be true. That's what we say about free willism, isn't it? There's no way that can be true. There is only one gospel, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You want some good news, Don? God loves you for Christ's sake. Don Fortner wrote this: here is a work of the Word. Speaking of, she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited His people in giving them bread. She, the Lord caused this chosen one to hear the good report of His grace toward His people. Naomi heard in the Moab how that the Lord had visited His people in giving them bread. And when Naomi heard what God had done for His people, she believed the message and arose to return. To return to Bethlehem. Faith cometh by hearing. go forth and preach the gospel. Isn't that what we just said a minute ago? Look at verse 7. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. Again, allow me to quote from Don Fortner. Here is the believer's work of faith that we read about in verse 7. Wherefore she went forth out of the place, it says. There can never be a reconciliation with God without a separation from the world. Those who eat at the Father's table have to leave the hog troughs of the world. You cannot serve God and mammon. A choice must be made. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. Naomi had made her choice, and so must we. She was determined to leave Moab and return to Israel. She was willing to leave her dearest and nearest relatives before, but now Naomi was a true believer. She knew from whence she had fallen. She knew that she had lost what she had lost. She remembered how blessed things had been in Bethlehem, and she was determined to return. She counted no cost too great. When you left this church and you went to visit wherever else that you might have, was it like me? Were you ready to get out of there as fast as possible and come home? Come home to where the truth is preached? Now, I'm not trying to say the truth is just only right here in Rescue. We know that's not true, but that's what a lot of people will say when they hear those words. Oh, it's only in Rescue. You're such an isolationist. No. God has his preachers all over the world. New Guinea, Oregon, Yuba City, Marysville, Tennessee, Kentucky, Texas, Montana. God has his preachers everywhere. Many that we don't even know about. Oh, how quickly I wanted to get out of those places and come to where the preaching of the gospel is preached, the truth. Is the world an empty vessel that does not satisfy your soul? Is God drawing you this day? There's good news, folks. And I never get tired of hearing it. God has visited his people. Amen? Amen. Stand with me, if you would, please, and let's close in prayer.